This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There's 9/10 remaining. Crowder will inbound. Cousins waving his arms. Not an easy inbound with that big body in front of you. Crowder looking, throws it. Alley. Oh! Hey, he puts it down! He puts it down! It's over!
And they're trying to say goaltending, but that's a live basketball. He can finish it.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Germany just hit the crossbar. I just wanted to throw that in there, literally just as we were coming back from break. So still 1-0 Hungary. This is where
They didn't throw it down.
Here's where I want to say I'm a genius. I swear to God. Yep. And I'm sure other people thought this too. I'm literally before that play, I'm thinking like, just send Dayton to the basket and like throw it up and just have them tip it in. And like, right. That's exactly what happened.
We say that to all teams. Yes. How many teams do we say that to, by the way, that have any big man that's like competent? Like with the Bucks, how many times are you just like... I feel like I'm going to see that reaction a lot over the next 45 minutes.
Germany literally just had another right in front of the net, and the defenseman Ginter kicked it right to the goalie. So Germany's threatening here. We still have 70 minutes to score a goal. I just need a draw. Just get through. Just get through, Germany, you jerks.
The energy of 3-5 today is going to be something.
It's going to be, especially if this game's coming down to it. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's wild that more teams don't just try to do that, even if it doesn't work. Like, why wouldn't you try?
Yeah, you have Giannis, you have Zion. Like, how is it not just, like, even if it's a bad pass, just put it literally anywhere near the basket.
So I agree. Absolutely incredible. Electric ending to the game last night. What was a really outstanding basketball game, aside for Scott Foster and the officiating. Suns beat the Clippers 104-103. Clippers cover. Ken and I went mano a mano, and I, this time, emerged victorious. Suns take a 2-0 series lead. We'll leave some of my prop losses alone for just a moment, though. The incredible inbounds play. I think it's the best inbounds play, honestly, since Grant Hill to Christian Laettner in the regional final Duke against Kentucky in 1992. Ayton, absolutely magnificent. 24 points, 14 boards. Goes over his points and rebounds prop. Reed gave that out yesterday, the points and rebounds prop for DeAndre Ayton. Campaign, 29 points. That was one of my only winners. Paul George, 26 points. But turned from playoff P to pandemic P at the very end of the game, missing two huge free throws, shoots 1 of 8 from downtown. The Suns can take a 2-0 series lead by virtue of that win.
Yeah, and the big adjustment from game one to game two, and you always wonder, like, how much different is this stuff going to look, right, game to game? Sometimes I feel like you just see the same game run it back over and over again. I feel like with Nets-Bucks, from a pace standpoint, we saw that, like, over and over again. I feel like we just saw the same game, like, literally three straight times. With this game specifically, okay, like, what changed from game one? Most obvious thing by far was just Devin Booker's usage. Now, some of that was kind of out of his control, and some of it was determined by defense, right? So they put Patrick Beverley on him immediately. The Clippers start this lineup with Zubats and Beverley in it, which is like it's an under lineup, first of all, but big time, because it's meant to guard Ayton and guard Devin Booker more effectively. And Beverley's pretty successful for the most part. And that's part of why Devin Booker's usage was a little bit further down, took fewer shots, got in foul trouble a little bit more. I think the frustration of having that mattered. So that is something that can go forward. But the other thing that can't go forward is Booker breaks his nose, basically, and has to leave the game for some period of time. You imagine that when he comes back, that's obviously a little bit different situation than he's used to, because his nose is like the size of a grapefruit and he's trying to play basketball and breathe through it probably. So it's just... I think I struggle, Nick, in terms of just what we saw last night, and, you know, forget side total for game three, but just like, what are we going to see again? Like, is Devin, what Devin Booker do you think we're going to get the rest of the series? Cause game one, greatest game of all time, triple double, 40 plus points. Game two, Clippers make an adjustment, but how much of it is the adjustment and how much of it is like headbutt and offensive fouls and that kind of stuff? Like, what do you think we're going to see going forward? That's like my number one question kind of coming out of this game.
So I want to bang on myself a little bit here, because I took some Devin Booker overs in last night's game.
I'm not even sure you were wrong. Like, what if he doesn't get headbutt? You know?
Well, like, I also kind of read the quote from one of the reasons I like the Clippers is because yesterday to cover the spread was because I felt Booker could fade late because we had the quotes from Monty Williams saying Booker was tired down the stretch of game number one with no Chris Paul. Like Booker was basically handling like the Booker. And I said this after game one, Booker in that game in game one was Devin Booker. And he was Chris Paul. He had to be both. And he was, and he was majestic. And he was the reason why they won the game. So I maybe we'll split the baby, right? Maybe we'll split the difference here. Maybe we'll get somewhere in between in game number three. But I feel like my expectations, at least for Booker, not necessarily for the Suns, and we can talk about that in a second here, but for Booker are going to be tempered until Chris Paul comes back. Because it just feels like it is a lot on his plate. He's great. Maybe he can make it happen. I don't know if it's realistic to expect like game one Devin Booker moving forward in the series without Chris Paul there to help shoulder some of the load.
Sure. We had the report from Dave McMenamin last night during the game, literally during the game, that it's the Suns are optimistic that Chris Paul is going to play in game three. And that was like an interesting thing that came out last night. That has not been confirmed by Phoenix, I don't believe yet. And we don't have an
Stephen A. Smith kind of said that earlier today, too, that like that basically like Paul's going to be back sooner rather than later.
Right. And so I think the good news is in terms of because we can do some prop stuff here, too, before we do the markets. I really only had like one thing that I loved that I think can kind of go forward into game three from a prop standpoint with Paul returning. And that obviously throws like a huge wrench into stuff. It seems like the Clippers are really going to go with like a lot of Beverly and Rondo, which we didn't see a lot in the previous two playoff series, a lot of Zubats and some Cousins and both at the end of the game, which was really wild to see that. And then they both had to play on that final possession because of that crazy sequence where like, well,
how
you have
the
to
fact
keep
that
the same
Cousins
five
pushed
on the court.
Booker. How about the fact that Cousins pushed Booker and like it got completely like brushed under the rug.
No big deal. Whatever. Scott Foster reviews literally every fragment of skin on everybody's jersey, but we don't review anything about that and we don't hear about it ever again. Very interesting. But if we're going to see those rotations, we're going to see Zubats, we're going to see Cousins, we're going to see Beverly, we're going to see Rondo. You could see Paul George rebound numbers like literally in real time suffering as a result of what was happening, right? You have the two guards crashing down. You have bigs, kind of competent, normal bigs getting rebounds in situations. There were a bunch of times where Paul George wasn't even under the basket. You know, I think he finished with 6. His number was 8.5. I'll be curious if that adjusts going forward because that was one that was like, we had it. That was a winner last night. That is a fantastic facial expression for people watching on YouTube right now to what Nick's watching. But that would be one.
Let me just finish the thought.
Yeah. So I think, okay, cool. Like Ayton props going forward, maybe because he's unstoppable. That would be one other angle. But with Paul coming back, the only thing I feel great about bringing into the next game that we've seen recently is just watching kind of like Clipper rebounds last night. I think Paul George rebounds under was a good winner for us. And I think that is something actually we can play going forward if they keep the market the same.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You Better You Bet, BetQL Wednesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley breaking down Tuesday night's game between the Suns and the Clippers. So just a quick, just to tell you what happened here in this Portugal-France game. Portugal whips across into the box. Hugo Lloris, the French keeper from Tottenham Hotspur, literally forearmed accidentally, but slammed a member of the Portuguese team. I didn't see who it was. I saw it. It was bad. He nailed him in the side of the head. Player went down immediately. Lloris yellow carded. Portugal about to shoot a penalty, which I'm guessing will be
Ronaldo, you would assume.
Yeah.
And that's been one of the stories of the tournament. Missed penalties. It's been one of the absolute stories of the tournament. How close are we to kicking? Are we 5 seconds or are
the the player is literally I'm not trying to be dramatic here because we obviously had a very serious situation. He's shaking, his leg shaking on the ground. I think he's okay. I don't think it was that bad, but they're coming out with a stretcher. I want to say a stretcher.
Yeah, so it's going to be a couple
minutes. It's the soccer stretcher. Yeah. It's the soccer stretcher. It's not an action
magic spray and the four people carrying the, honorary lifeguard buoy basically to lift somebody off. So
this will be a Ronaldo penalty kick most likely. Anyway, back to this. Okay, can we spin this forward? Because I have a take on the rest of the series here. Okay,
yeah.
So game three. I did not see a total over at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, but the game three price right now, the Suns a 1-point favorite. Yep. Suns a 1-point favorite on the road at the Clippers.
Yep, saw that.
Series price now, Suns minus 910, Clippers plus 575. And I know that people will be thinking, okay, Clippers have been down 0-2, both series thus far in this postseason. Down 0-2 to the Mavericks, come back and win in 7. Yep. Down 0-2 to the Jazz, come back and win that series in 6. Much like I said about the Vegas Golden Knights in the last series, if this is going to be the way it is, whether Chris Paul comes back or not, if Kawhi Leonard does not come back for the Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Clippers, D-E-D, dead, D-U-N, done, and I think they're going to get swept if Kawhi doesn't come back. And I'm going to tell you why. And Ken, I thought you did an awesome job in the breakdown of game number one, basically being this was a great Clippers three-point shooting variance game. They had to win game number one. They didn't win game number one. I think they had to win that game last night. It was obviously there for the taking. And I'm not even talking about the fact that they were winning with literally a second to go.
Sunshot, terrible. Yeah.
Terribly. They had a zillion opportunities. Go foot to the throat in the fourth quarter. Tie the game. Take the lead. Build the lead. Didn't do it. George misses the free throws. These are two gut punch losses here. I don't think the Clippers have it late in these games here. This Clippers team minus Kawhi Leonard. Whether Chris Paul comes back or not, no Kawhi Leonard, I think it's absolutely over as Ronaldo converts the penalty. Portugal take a 1-0 lead.
Crazy.
So I think they're done. But if you tell me Kawhi Leonard's coming back, Ken, that plus 575 looks a little palatable, a little appetizing here. So I know I probably said a couple obvious things there, series is done. If Kawhi doesn't come back, Kawhi does come back. I like the Clippers to win. But that's how I'm going to play it. So you're going to tell me no Kawhi? I'm going to lay the point with the Suns on the road in game number three.
Sure. I agree with you on that point. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's done, but the way I always put it is it's the Suns are a huge, huge, huge favorite to win the series, and they should be. That's the way that I would put it, in terms of probabilities. Although I do understand exactly what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you just, logically, the idea that if Kawhi doesn't come back, how do the Clippers win? I think the Clippers can make this a long series because I think they can play games where they shoot very well and the Suns shoot very poorly that don't involve the craziest end of game scenarios imaginable. Clippers could have easily won those first two games. Now they're playing at home. The spread for game three does make a ton of sense to me. I've seen Suns minus one. I've seen Clippers minus one. This happens all the time with when the number is one. Certain sites will hang one team favored by one, the other. You can't really middle it, obviously, because the game can't end in a tie. So it doesn't really
matter. Unless Scott Foster's officiating.
Right. And one is not a very common number in NBA finishing scores anyway. But that makes a lot of sense to me if we think about the Suns. So on one hand, here's my point. It makes a lot of sense because if you look at what the closing numbers were, game one, game two, we're talking about 4.5-5, switch home court. Okay, this all kind of makes sense. If Chris Paul's back, shouldn't the Suns be favored by a pretty good amount and Kawhi's not coming back? That was my only thing when I saw this number is I was my first thought is, oh, this makes perfect sense. We're flipping home court, not a whole lot else going on. And then I read the McMenamin tweet and I was talking to somebody about it and they're like, yeah, Paul playing. And I go, yeah, wait a minute. How are the Suns plus anything with Chris Paul now coming
back? What do you think it should be? If Chris Paul comes back for game three and no Kawhi.
This feels like a number that has no Chris Paul in it. I mean, let's say it's pick and average everything going on right now. Chris Paul's at least got to be worth 1.5, right? 2, something like that. Suns by 2 with Paul playing. Wouldn't that make a ton more sense? And I can get Suns plus 1 right now.
And
it's kind of interesting.
Now, it's not like Paul with the shoulder injury, like Chris Paul had COVID, but well, from we just, what we yeah. know,
we don't really
from
know.
What we, from what we know, he was vaccinated and asymptomatic, no symptoms. So one would assume, and listen, not an epidemiologist or the doctor or anything, but you would assume that Paul
is basically. Is that what it's called? Right, yeah.
What's
no, you said the right thing too. I was just trying to think of another. It's like, aren't people like immunologists? Aren't those people? I didn't even know those things existed until the last year.
It's like, I guess
shout out to all those guys. Thank you.
I wish I'd never heard of any of these people. Right. But you would think, right, that Chris Paul hits the ground running here, and it's gonna be like CP3, like he never left. It's not like he's coming off like a hamstring. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like a physical injury. He's got a virus, and he's immune to the virus, basically. Not immune to getting it, but not going to be affected by it because of the vaccine. Right. So I think almost more than a point and a half. Then almost. If he's going to be himself.
My argument would just be some adjustment. And I understand that the Clippers are also like, well, home team down 0-2, that has to be reflected. Okay, well, like you could see derivatives priced differently as a result of that. You could see all those things. But like game spread, really? Like that's what we're going to do? Because just think about this from an adjustment standpoint. What did the Clippers do in game two? Completely changed their starting lineup, played a ton more Beverly and a ton more Zubats. Like, all right, if Paul plays, like what are the cross matches on defense in this game? So you're gonna play Beverly like and Rondo, like that doesn't really make any sense. That's like a death offense lineup. Okay, like Beverly's still gonna cover Booker. Who's gonna cover Chris Paul? Like Chris Paul's not just gonna seek out switches with like a random guys in the court, Zubats and a pick and roll. Like there's all kinds of other things that come up as a result of it's like the Suns were like, well, that was a really good adjustment. You know what our adjustment is? Having our best player play now. And like let's see how the defense all kind of fits together when we do that. It's also worth noting that I don't think Morris was very good last night at all. Didn't play that many minutes. Played under 30. Clippers, you know, had another deep bench game where Mann plays and Kennard plays and all that stuff. But again, if he's not going to be good, the best five-man lineup that they have is affected by that significantly. Batum way down in minutes last night, so they didn't play that small ball lineup. They even made a good point on the broadcast when they finally did play it, like, oh, they're doing it for like 2 minutes. They even brought it up, like, wow, the first time we've ever seen this. I think Clippers are in rough shape here, man. I just think, like, the biggest adjustment imaginable is Chris Paul coming back into the series. Like, how is that going to make me love the Clippers right now? Like, let's at least see a game with Chris Paul and how it all fits back together. Maybe he looks terrible, and maybe that affects our handicap going forward in the series. But, and I'm the guy who bought the Clippers after the Jazz series. In the Mavs series, I thought they were live. Like, we've been Team Clipper on the show for the first few rounds of the playoffs for a lot of the games. It feels like a completely different set of variables. And I am a little surprised that the Suns aren't favored by a little bit more, even up 2-0 with a guy like Paul coming back.
So two questions. I want you to answer them very quickly here. Number one, so if you had to bet the game right now, you'd lay it with the Suns if you had to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last question and answer quickly, if you can, as quickly as you can. Is it worth taking a flyer on Clippers plus 575 if like the rumblings out there may be true that Kawhi could be on the way back and maybe getting a decent price on LA at that point? Is that worth it in your estimation?
No, I would say no. That would be, I can explain it way more tomorrow, I guess, but let's just say no for right now.
Okay. Cause yeah, like I said, D-U-N done, D-E-D dead.
Could be down 3-0 by the time he comes back.
You know, and cares? It's like, yeah. and it's so fun cause they could be up 2-0 going home right now. We could have a series and they lost both of these. They needed to win one of these games and they did not win either of them. Classic Clippers, classic Paul George, of course. Anyway. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Make your free throws, Paul.
On the other side, give me that. You did a bear sound effect right before.
Rawr.
The bear, Chris Felica, is going to join us. When Chris joins us, we're going to talk Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll find out what he likes tonight with his Islanders, Lightning game 6, potential series clinching game. We'll find out what the bear likes in the Euros with the knockout stage still to come. And we'll also talk a little college football. So we get away from the NBA. We'll get back to it next hour. But Chris Felica, the bear from ESPN, joins Nick and Ken right after this.
From pro basketball to Nikki football, soccer bets, and so much more, we've got you covered. It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley from BetQL.